We're two Sundays away from Easter. And we begin our 10th year in this cathedral. We are downtown to make a statement. We don't need to be here. We have a sanctuary in Glendale. In fact, the church was 28 years in Glendale before I was elected. We're here to make a statement. The continuing presence in the heart of the city of the angels, of people with the upward look of faith. But this is not a traditional church. And it's been dawning on me of late that lots of new people have come in. I expect you to be listening 24 hours a day to radio, television, or internet, and all the things I've been saying for 20 plus years, you would know. But I'm beginning to see symptoms of problems I dealt with when I first came here. People who come, hear the teaching, have a heart that responds to the teaching, but like the children of Israel leaving for the promised land, you might be guilty of bringing a lot of baggage in from Egypt. This is not, and never will be, as long as there's breath in my body, a traditional church. You don't get in here without a pass. I approve the pass. You don't have elections. They had one. They elected me. I guess that means that you don't want me to go. No. Plus the fact the Pope just did a CD singing, and I'm glad to know that I sing better than the Pope. But being said, I'm the Pope here. And I really believe Catholics are among those of our congregation that fit in the best, because they understand the Pope's the boss in spiritual matters. They just have figured out that in 2,000 years, the Catholic institution has encrusted itself with so many barnacles, it's hard to hear the voice of the Lord, so they've come to a new pope. That's me. Never mind. Well, I'm Papa. Come Father's Day, we'll play my dad, as we always do, who was Pop to this congregation. Sort of hard for me to wear that mantle, but I'm getting there sometime in the next 40 years. I'll probably slap the first one who calls me Pop, but after popping you, I might get adjusted in time if you understand that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Not one word of Scripture says God gave saints for the perfecting of pastors. I might need it. That ain't your job. You need it. That's my job. Well, you may say, who's perfecting you? The expert of experts. The commissioner of commissioners. The papa of papas. God. And you know, he can get right to it. You can't fool him. You all can fool me once in a while. I can't fool him. Now, if you want God perfecting you instead of me, go and start a church. And I want it understood, in case you're new here, you're the rookie. We ain't looking for experts. We ain't looking for change. I spent a lot of Sundays last year teaching on the reason for being of the church, whose church it is, and who calls the shots for his church. Let's talk about money. We don't raise money for projects. We don't show babies with distended bellies to tweak your emotions to get you to give. This pastor does not pray for a famine in Ethiopia so I can start a division to raise money for Ethiopia and rake in some administrative costs. We have not built this ministry on emotional giving. There are two reasons for giving: emotion and value judgment. Even when we raise money for the library, Tom Bradley, then mayor, who had appointed me to the Blue Ribbon Committee that needed to raise $10 million and had founded it about $8 million, and I offered our network to raise the final $2 million, he said to me, "Gene, how are you going to get people in other states and other places to give money for a library in Los Angeles?" I said, "Tom, I raise money by tweaking people's value system. There's no person on earth that doesn't owe a debt to a library somewhere. In this country, at least, that's true. And I intend to talk about the value of libraries to our nation, our families, ourselves, our career, even if we don't read, others do, and we benefit. Don't wait for your library to burn. You can pay some of the debt you owe to that valued institution in our society now." I remember Tom standing after the victory celebration saying he couldn't believe, as he stood here one Sunday, he didn't even know the name of some of the little towns that sent money in. We raise money here based on value judgment. 10,000 times I've quoted C.S. Lewis, "God to be God has no needs. He's the creator. He speaks, and nothing becomes whatever he speaks it to be." How ludicrous to raise money in the church of the living God based on need. God has no needs. We as creatures have needs. And most people will admit that the greatest need all of us have is the need to be needed. And C.S. Lewis put it so beautifully, he said, "God in his grace humbled himself and covenanted a program whereby his work would need us. We could be needed because he wanted us to participate. But not because God needed it. We need to give." Giving has been denigrated by Satan as an angel of light, and we have sought to dignify giving. You give here as a response to the teaching. I'd like to see how long the evening news would last if they stopped the commercials, stopped the $1 million salaries and more, and at the end of the nightly newscast, they looked at the camera and said what I say. Now, don't send any money until after we give you the news, and then based on what you think the value of what we've given you is, send money in. They'd be sweeping streets for a living. Now, The only preacher in the world that looks in the camera and says, don't send any money until I first teach you. Then after I teach you, and when I get done with this speech, if you're listening, you'll have been taught. After I teach you, then you give as a statement of value of what you've heard. And I can tell you, if the claims of Christianity be true, that there's only one way out of this sin-darkened world. And God enables me to lighten the path that leads you to eternity on the right side. There's nothing on this earth you will ever receive more valuable than that. And Paul had that in mind in Galatians 6 when he said, let him that's taught in the word share materially good things with the one that taught him. This is a church where you don't have to worry about the pastor getting rich. That's the way he arrived. Sorry. If that bothers you, well, God, I quit apologizing for the gifts that God had given me years ago. You can't make me rich. God already did. In this church, we don't want your money written to some institution. You write it to me. I'm the teacher. If that bothers you, take your money and go somewhere else. You ain't changing us. We're here to change you. I will fight to my death and have proven it to you newcomers, you weren't around, that this church will be granted its rights under the Constitution. And part of those rights are to be treated equal with other churches. We therefore will fight to the death for our right to grant to you contribution credit that you can then put on your tax returns and deduct your contributions from your other income. That's because we are a fully accredited church, historic, and for going on 50 years, both with our own independent standing and as a member in good standing of our denomination. So our right to do that is absolute. We just won't do it. And we won't do it for about three good reasons. Tax exemption is a constitutional right for any church. Granting of tax deductible receipts is not a right. It's largesse, a gift, a permissive grant given by Congress. And anytime you get dependent on something the government gives you, you are dependent, because if the government gives, the government can take away. I remember years ago when Pickles Committee, nice name, was looking at tax contributions. Jimmy Swaggart squalled and bawled before the committee saying if they removed tax deductible receipts, his ministry would go out of business. Too bad Pickle didn't have the guts to move quickly. We don't want anything from the government. Our right, absolute. It's like when I would not give up the names and addresses of the donors of this church, and people said, well, if you have nothing to hide, why don't you open up? I said, we have the right to hide nothing. Up yours. That's what I said to the government. We won. Stay down. I haven't got time. Stay down. I haven't got time. I know how you feel. You fought there, most of you, with me side by side. We won. Likewise, we have the right to grant contribution receipts. We won't. We have the right to do it as long as it is a government grant to churches, because we're a church. But because it is not a constitutional right, but a government grant, we don't want it. Go on. whatever the government grants, they're going to bring in controlling handcuffs. They talk about wearing handcuffs on their vital parts. The government is the champion at that. You can take that anywhere you want to take it. Now, number two, you don't give to God and then I want something back. You give to God, it ain't yours anymore. And you don't go and say, I want something back. And then don't twist things around to where you say, well, I could give more if I got it back. God doesn't need your money. You need to give right, not wrong. You need to give rightly. The manner of giving is as important as the manner of taking communion. Number three, it's a government grant. We don't want it. You need to give, and give without any strings and trying to get something back is cheating on God. And number three, you're to give in secret. Why we give you King's House numbers? I, the pastor, and those I designate, like the privilege that is granted in a pastor penitent, and the privilege that is granted to an attorney and client, and the privilege that's granted to a doctor and patient, people on our staff, except those that I have clearly designated, and put with the spiritual aura of the Reverend Bishop, this is a jawbreaker, Dr. Gene Scott, Corporation Soul, the same device of government that enables the Bishop of the Catholic Church to handle affairs in California. We carefully conscript those who open the mail with your giving. You're to give in secret, but the secret primarily is outside this select body. I can't think of a worse way to violate Matthew 6 than to give to God and then tell the government. And believe you me, when Antichrist comes and the computer age that is necessary for his takeover is full orbed, he will know very quickly and instantly who the targets of his regime are in this world. Giving records. You say, well, I'll be gone. That's right. I'd like him to think I'm not, so he'd be scared for a while. Yeah, we'll be gone. The church is caught up. But Paul said the spirit of Antichrist is at work even in his day. And before that moment, where the restraining force, which is the church, is taken away, the spirit of Antichrist will continue to constrict. And he hasn't got time in 3.5 years to make it difficult for God's chosen. He'll make it, the spirit that works in the land will make it hard before we're caught away. Oh, a lot of people are giddy thinking we're going to have a great and wonderful revival before the appearing of the Lord. Hard times on Christians that are genuinely committed is more attuned to the prophecies of Scripture. I don't want the devil knowing what I give. He's not omniscient. I don't want his agents knowing, human bodies that are the government, the fundamental instrument of hell and the fundamental instrument of Antichrist is government. It will control your buying and selling in the last days. And a false prophet institutional church that encourages you to cooperate and take his number. And isn't it interesting that in a computer age, 6 is the most facile or easy to use number in the computers. And isn't it interesting that 666 is that number. And we'll succumb to it so easily, you can't even the last year, has made it so difficult to do anything without somebody prying into your personal information. You can't even go open a bank account now without giving a life story. And somewhere, as the people they thought were fanatics who resisted Social Security years ago, somewhere it will click in. And there'll be numbers, Social Security or something else, license number, everything will be put with a certain prefix, and all your numbers will spit out, and then in front of it, to go to some computer beast, will be 666. And they'll have your number. And then a little chip implanted. We used to read the Bible, wonder how they're going to put a mark in your forehead and in your hand. They already know how to do it. You can just do it and it's not visible. And the mark is there. Don't waste time pulling cards out and going through a woman's purse. Just stick your hand out or look at the things in the forehead. The Bible anticipated this long before computers and implanted chips and all the other scientific things and laser and etc. came along. There could be no Antichrist, as the Bible describes him, without computers. There could be no witnesses lying in the streets of Jerusalem and the whole world look on for 3 days without satellites. How did the Bible know all this? Now, we're not cooperating with Antichrist because my Bible says that we are a restraining force and he cannot be revealed until we're removed. That's what the Thessalonian letter says. And I've recognized we have two functions as a church in the world: to proclaim his light and to resist Antichrist. We've been pretty good at both jobs, and we don't intend to change. So I'm saying to you as a congregation, wherever you may listen, we don't need your money. The pastor's rich and the church is rich. We don't need your money. God's our supply. You need to give. And we may be the only church in several centuries that has restored giving to dignity. I've anticipated what's happened to others on television. There is nobody can argue with me saying, I don't want money except what you think my teaching's worth, and teachers ought to be higher paid than anybody on this world. If we paid teachers what we pay rock stars and these bonehead sports figures, we'd transform the world. I get out of foxholes as though the whole war depends upon my body being there. And I've been on a 20-plus year crusade, and before I came here, another 20 years before that, trying to say, I'm willing to let my teaching stand on its own feet, and only those who respond to the teaching and value it, you're the only ones I want to give. And if you give, you give to the one who taught you, not somebody else. Don't go down to a good restaurant that is expensive out of sight, but the food is superior, and eat, and then walk to the cashier and say, you know, they're starting a little Tommy Burger down in my neighborhood, and they need the money more than you, so thanks for the wonderful food, but I'm going to pay Tommy Burger. I hope the gas you get blows you up. Now, I'm taking my preaching time, and I don't like that. Don't even try to deduct what you give here from your income tax, because when the IRS asks us to support you, we'll say, throw them in jail. They're a fraud. You know, that applause was not quite as strong as the others. So let me say it again. You deduct what you give here and try to lie to God and your pastor when I'm making it clear and have made it clear. We play a 30-minute nugget every week on this network, and I've been making it clear for years. It's a sin for you to give when we have clearly outlined the premises, and you do it with another cause and sneak a contribution credit with the government because you're panicking when you're paying your taxes. And when the IRS calls us and says, they claim they gave you this much money, can we have proof of it? We'll say, throw them in jail. They never gave a dime. They turned over to God what belonged to Him. They said when I drew this line years ago, oh, Scott's crazy. His church can't function if he doesn't grant contribution receipts. Well, that's like those that prayed me off the air and the news stories that wrote Scott's last hour on television. It's been how many years now? 15 years long? That's a 15-year hour. I'm still here. Man, someone called last Sunday. What's the pastor doing spending the church's money down? And you say, it's always something triggers him. Yeah, you damn right something triggered me. I'm so mad I didn't get that call because they would have heard cuss words they never dreamed were possible to come out of the mouth of a man. What's he doing down there? Spending the church money on the beaches in Anguilla. Give here. If I want to take the money and fly in my jet over the Pacific Ocean, well, I can't do that. Rent the old DC-3 or so back from Clay Lacy and fly out there toward Catalina Island and dump it in the ocean, then up yours, that's my business, and I make that clear when you give the money. You don't ask a restaurant where you eat what they do with the money. And I'm sure they're not interested what happens to the food once it gets in and out of you. Transaction closed. I teach, you give what you think the teaching's worth, and what I do with it is none of your damn business. Is that clear? Try to make myself look worse than I am so that the fallback has got a big margin. I sat down in front of the camera several years ago, and when I announced some of these policies and said, I don't ever want anybody saying, how much of the church's money does Scott cost? The truth of this church is, how much of Scott's money does the church cost? That dignity. I'm entitled to it. I happen to believe that teaching is worth more than anything. And throughout most of my years when I came here, I was elected for $1 a year plus expenses. And I drove in a limousine that didn't belong to the church. I remember when I was here for a while, I said, I've never raised money for anything related to me personally. I've just asked for you to respond to the teaching. And though 99.9% of the check come made out to me, just as the rights of the Billy Graham Association and Oral Roberts and others, you can't find a check that wasn't cashed and put into the church. That's my right and my choice. Don't take that dignity from me. I started collecting stamps when I was a child. My first love is a particular collection I assembled when stamps cost pennies. few months ago, I gave it to the church. They just released it for auction, a $500,000 advance was written to Westcott Christian Center and put in the church account. As long as I'm free, those were my stamps. As long as I'm free, as you are, to give to God because I love Him, not because you put any pressure on me. As you are free to give after you get the teaching, I'll not have that joy taken from me. But I won't tolerate some Johnny-come-lately drifting in here from churches so sour you had to leave them, and bringing your baggage and trying to rewrite the agenda of this church. There is one church that can truly sing the song as long as it has a footnote at the end. We did it our way, and our way was doing it God's way. No, you're going to wear yourself out. God has been so good to me, I don't need your money either. But they had birthday and anniversary and various kinds of offerings for the pastor when I came here. I said, that's good, because it respects the position. And throughout most of the years, you will remember, I said, I don't need it. And I would designate something for that offering before I took it. And I may start doing that again. But it's been sort of interesting to me, and I think a credit to you. For the last few years since God performed surgery of removing that and I've been finding a little bit of happiness after 45 years of prison. And making all the preachers that are sorry they ever got married to the dump they're living with mad because I'm single. I'm single. How many of you know I'm single? Well, I'm married to you. As a congregation. But we have an open marriage. You don't care who I go out with. You remember I said the first love offering of that special day, I said, I'm going to spend it and have a bachelor's party. Remember that? Man, I had one. Still going on. I've run out of time. Now, the thing that's so funny is we keep track of these offerings. Most time I bought something, told you before you gave what it's going for. The offerings have gone up since I've told you I'm going to spend it. Gone up. Now, if I were as crooked as most preachers, I'd lie to you next time and say, I would lie to you and say, I'm going to spend it when I intend to give it to something else so we could get more money. Anything that gets more money is the way some of them do it. But I'm living proof you deal straight with the congregation. You're okay. I said, I'm going to spend it. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do with the next one. If I designate it, I'll tell you, and we'll get less money. But if I want to have a party and buy a beach with the fun in place, that's my business. So I'm telling you, voices of faith, you get somebody like that calling on the phone, don't even let them finish the sentence. You say, funk you very much, and hang up. Now, I see they erased my board And to make sure you understand what John is going to be saying in a few minutes, if not what the fundamentalist will think he's saying, he's going to say, funk. He's not going to say what you think he's going to say. But I want it understood, and this is just a little pastoral nugget that has taken too much time. I'm going to have to do it periodically to make sure that the new ones who drift in here don't come thinking you can change what has made this church great and cause God to pick it to be His voice around the world 24 hours a day. We're not going to make any compromise. If you don't like what you see here, get the funk out. It's offering time now. Now, don't anybody stand and ask a question. I've told you how we do it here. And the song is, if you don't like what you see here, get the funk out. But if you like what you see here, stay around.